Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I mean, every day is Saturday for me right now. Yeah, no, honestly, this is a great Friday because People Meet Me on Vacation movie came out, which I did watch this morning, so I can give a brief synopsis. And then Traitors season 4, also the first 3 episodes came out this morning, so I threw 2 of those. It's a great show if you like reality TV. And then I have not watched episode 1 of season 2 of The Pitt yet, but I have like a stack. I'm like, my Friday, I have a stacked lineup.
I love that for you.
I do.
That's
too.
One good thing about a newborn, right? Like, you can put the TV on while they just nap in your arms if you're nap trapped, and just watch your shows. I remember, like, I'm so mad at myself. I'm never having kids again. I'm done. But like, everyone would tell me, like, you should find a show. And I'd be like, I don't really watch TV, which, like, I really don't. So I would like read and do whatever. But with Liam, I think I was like, my postpartum was very different because we moved 2 days after having a C-section, having a C-section and coming home. So I couldn't do anything. So my house was in disarray and I don't like chaos. I like very, I'm a little OCD. So I was not well. On top of just like not being well. And I'll never forget. It was 4 days before I had to go back to work. And I was like, maybe I should find a show. Like, it's, whatever. And like, Liam had to, like, he was a napper on us and.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Same.
I got into Gilmore Girls and I remember looking at Tom being like, why did I not listen to a single fucking soul who told me to find a show with our first and then our second? Because honestly, there is nothing more mindless and it passes the time so fast when you're watching 45 minute shows.
Yeah. No, honestly, like, there's some days where I'm like, oh my God, like, it's 6. Like, I have to feed him and then we have to start bedtime in like 90 minutes. Like, wow, this day went by so fast because I've just been like laying here watching.
Like, I really wish I truly listened to what someone told me to do.
I think that, I mean, I even know for myself, like, everybody going into motherhood, you're like, these are things I'm not going to do. And then your kid is like, yeah, right. Like, I was like, oh, I'm not going to hold him while he naps. Like, I'm not going to be that parent who's like, he's so clingy and like has to be. He sleeps great at night by himself. So I don't care if I have to hold him all day while he naps.
Also,
so be it.
I can't stand when people are like, you shouldn't do that. They're going to get used to it. He is literally what? 6 weeks old.
Yeah.
No.
Well, he's 8 weeks old today.
Actually. 8 weeks old today.
And you know what? Yeah, still no. He's a baby.
A 4 or 5 month old baby might get very used to it. Maybe even 3. But an 8 week old, you good?
No.
You good?
I said, I'm waiting for 8 weeks. And now I'm like one nap a day in his crib is my goal by the end of the month. I was like, let me get like halfway through. So it's,
you're going to break every single rule when you have a baby that you set for yourself.
Yeah. Because every baby's going to be different and they're literally going to make you change your rules.
And
so,
if you have multiples, I bet you did things differently as well. Cause you have to, like, so you just do what makes it work. And honestly, like, F everybody that has an opinion about it. Cause like, you do what's best for your family.
So I know that we're going to definitely talk about the book that we both read, which is Tell Me What You Did by Carter Wilson. And I started out kind of hybrid reading it. So I was like eyeballing it. And then at night during feedings, listening to the audio, the audio is phenomenal. So I kind of just stopped reading it and was only, that's why I was like, I have like 10 minutes left. Cause that was the thing I think I had 20 minutes left and it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, I want to be like fully awake for the ending. So I waited until I was eating lunch. And then I was like, right, like, let me listen to the last 20. So I just finished. And phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I really liked it.
I started to eyeball read it. And then I was like, you know what, Katie? Like, it's a podcast show.
Yeah.
Try the, like, sample the audio.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I like the book cover. So I'm like, perfect personal trophy.
Yeah.
But they did a really great job.
They really did. Like, so, yeah, so like Katie said, it follows Poe, and she is the host of a podcast. Ha ha ha. Very different from ours, because she has people call in anonymously and admit to crimes that they've committed.
There's disclaimers. Like, this could be, like, subpoenaed. whatever. She's got one of the top crime podcasts. Like, it was like she yes. happened to fall on a list, and it was like all time best, like a yes. like a top 10 list. So people from all over have listened.
Yeah, and she has also like disclaimers, like it can't be like anything about kids or pets or like, yeah. or, like animals, things like
stipulations.
That. Yes,
and I believe her podcast has actually helped to solve 3 cases. She yeah. says, and again, you're anonymous, but. You're allowed to, you get 15 minutes to just confess. And then if she thinks you're legit and what you're confessing is real, then she'll keep the podcast going.
Yeah.
So I like that we do get a sample of an episode.
Yes. I love that. And her, like, I guess her, like affinity for true crime has to do with her witnessing her mother's murder when she's yes. like 13 years old. And that's kind of like it's not the plot of the story. It's kind of what kicks off the plot of the story is
yes.
A man calls in and he's claiming to be the murderer. He's claiming to be the one who murdered her mother. And she's like, that's not possible. I killed the murderer. She's not saying this to him, but she's like, you're obviously not, because she knows in her mind, she's like, I killed the guy who killed my mom.
Yes.
So you can't be him. But he like knows like a lot of like intimate details about the murder.
Yeah.
So, like, you know that he has to be connected in some way, which, spoiler alert, I was like, this has to be the guy's brother.
My mind went right to relative.
Yeah.
You definitely killed the right man, but you're dealing with a relative.
Yeah. So, I think it's,
first thought was, like, twin brother. Like, same, but like that's... But, fraternal twin.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too. So, we find out that 7 years after her mom's death, I think it's 7 years after her mom's death, she's living in New York City because she finds an email. She knows her mom is about to have an affair. She like is a nosy kid. She's like in her parents' business, and she finds an email between her mother and this man named Leopold. And they are planning to meet up the next day. And mm-hmm. there's like talk of like safe words and things like that. And she wants to like catch her mom in the act. She's like, if I catch my mom, she'll feel guilty about cheating on my dad, and I'll save my family. So she like leaves the house, but she comes back early, and she hears them in the throes of passion. And then she hears things turn not as pleasurable, and she opens the door and she sees her mom being like stabbed to death by this man. Mm-hmm. And she freezes. Like, she doesn't scream. She doesn't run. She does, like, nothing. She literally freezes in her spot.
Yeah.
And the guy basically is like, if you tell anybody, I will come back and I will kill you and I will kill your dad.
Yeah.
So she goes mute for 3 months. And she never speaks of it again. She never says it. She saw it. Like, she literally never speaks of it again until... What I find
fascinating, too, is, like, her boyfriend... So she has her boyfriend he was hired first as an employee of hers to kind of like moderate
mm-hmm.
and set up the podcast episodes. But he also is only, she can see him and he can see Poe.
Yeah.
But he listens and watches the body language and facial expressions of everyone confessing.
Yeah.
And can kind of pretty much point out like if they're lying or not. Like he's almost like a profiler without being a profiler. He has a like really good instincts, intuition.
Yes.
And he always brings up quite regularly, kind of seems like every couple months or so, like, are you hiding something from me? She's like, oh my God, I'm not cheating. Like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I know you're not cheating, but like, there's something you're not telling me. Yeah. So like very much is pretty much spot on with the fact that she has this massive secret.
Yeah.
And she's not telling him. So like he does back away, which like,
I was a little suspicious of him.
Same. I had my suspicions. I thought for sure maybe he was like assisting some way, or mm-hmm. maybe he was somewhat. Again, like you saw the guy's face, so it couldn't have been him. But I thought maybe that there was, I think his name was Kip, was somehow a relative maybe also of the person. And I also had another thought too, that potentially if she did kill the quote unquote wrong person, maybe she killed the twin. And that's why this guy looks familiar. Again, I'm thinking fraternal twins. Because, again, she's looking at this guy on a camera.
And she keeps saying, like, he looks familiar, but I know it's not him. She was like, I know that I killed the right guy.
Yeah.
Like, she's very adamant about it. But then she starts to question herself.
Power of persuasion, right? Like, I could sit here and convince you. Like, I bet you if I was like, what's my sister's eye color? You probably would know it. But then I might be like, no, you're not. No, it's not. It's like, it's this, it's this. It's like, you can make anyone rethink, even if you're someone who's very strong-minded.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely
and
can.
This guy, even though, and because like I kept thinking too, like he's definitely not, though he knew there was a safe word and he obviously had access to the emails, which I'm sure he then probably read them, but like they never actually said, he never said what the safe word was to her. Right. She just knew it was gentle. So like, I don't know. Like there's something fishy.
Yes. Like, and the thing too, like, so like, yeah, Kip didn't know like that her mom was murdered. She was like, my mom died in a car accident when I was younger. Yeah. Like she hides a lot from him because she doesn't want him. She doesn't have the same last name as her mom. Like her mom never changed her last name. So there's like no way to really connect her to her mom's murder as far as like if people are like just like looking up like her through her podcast. And she eventually like is like, okay, like I'm ready to admit to Kip what happened, but I've never told the full story to my dad, and I owe it to my dad to hear it first.
Yeah.
So she goes and she tells her dad, like this poor man, literally an angel, like, but like between her and her dad and even Kip, like they are like maybe like three of the dumbest people in some instances. Like
in some instances, yes.
Yeah. In some instances, like they're kind of on top of things. And then, okay, so we know that the guy tried to run her dad off the road, or did run her dad off the road and tried to kidnap him.
Yes.
And so they go back to her house. Like, basically, like, they are, at some point, they do alert the police. Like, at first, she's like, you can't tell the cops because I did kill a man 7 years ago and I don't want to be found out. But at the same time, it's like, this man is threatening your life. Where's the proof that you killed this man? Like, he can just, like, make an allegation. You can be like, you're literally crazy.
Yeah.
So at first she's like, we're not going to the police. We're not going to the police. Like, he's literally like fucking with her. He's like in her house. Like, finally she's like, okay, I guess I have to call the cops. Then they know that he's like threatening them. They tried to kidnap her dad to get to her. And instead of being like, hey Kip, why don't you also come over so that we're all in the same place? She's just like, be careful, be safe.
And she also, I love the fact that when her dad's like, let's get out of town, like smartest decision we've made here. Right.
Yeah.
I like had to laugh though, because she's like, well, I'll see you there. I'm going to go to Kip's. Like, you don't think that this guy already knows where your boyfriend lives?
Yeah.
Like, why would you go there? Again, like, have Kip maybe come with you, come stay, rent a room also, offer to pay for it. Like,
yeah.
She did good. She did really good the year before. Like, she paid like over $300,000. So, like, you can afford whatever. I was also cracking up because I like when she, her dog is very good with commands.
Yes.
So when she says, Bailey, come, and she doesn't come in the woods when they're staying away.
My I thought she was going to, like, stab her dog.
I got very nervous. Same. I got very nervous, and I was on a run, and I'm like, my heart rate is spiking, because if there's an animal that is unalived in any type of book, I will stop. I will DNF this right away. Or I'll be like, Teresa, finish this, and then tell me when to skip ahead.
Yeah.
But my first thought was, okay, this guy followed you, and he has your dog.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, and she's like, oh, my God, maybe she chased something. I'm like, no, you dumb idiot. Where do you think your dog ran off to? Like, your dog is being held somewhere, probably. Like, and it's a moment for the guy to then get to the hotel room to be, I'm like, why are we not using our brain cells?
No, literally. And every time she would like go like outside by herself with the dog, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, this man is watching. She'd be like, oh, I know he's watching me. I know he's been in my house. I'm like, why are you not more freaked out?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, she did see her mother get brutally murdered. So maybe like, she's obviously not dealing with a full stack. But there were so many times where I was like, Poe?
Yeah.
But I did like how it ended too. Like, I liked the culmination of it. I thought it was kind of cool how, I mean, like, yeah, obviously you're not rooting for the villain in the story, but I was like, I like how he spun the podcast on her.
Right?
I thought like that was really cool. So basically, like, he ends up taking over her, like, so he insists on a live stream. Instead of a podcast episode, he's like, I want a live stream. She kind of like gives into it, and then he wants a second live stream, and she's like, absolutely not, absolutely not. That's when he abducts Kip and kind of forces her hand, and then forces her to admit on live that she killed his brother, and how she did it, which, again, like, I don't know. I don't have sympathy for this man. Obviously, we find out that he was kind of a serial killer and that he really did murder her mom, the guy that she killed. So sucks to suck.
Yeah.
I don't think she needed to kill him in the end, though? Like, I think at that point, like, the cops were coming.
I have a couple thoughts on the ending. Yeah. So I really like the, I'm with you. I liked the spin. My initial thought when like there was someone held hostage, because they don't say who it is. My initial thought was Kip. Mm-hmm. Then it was her dad. And then went obviously back to Kip, because then we knew the dad got away with it, luckily, because a cop car had to drive by the right place at the right time. I'm so on board with her confessing, right? Because because even when she talks to her one cop friend that she's kind of like befriended, Jeff, and he's like, did you actually do that? And she's like, I'm not going to answer any questions without a lawyer. And he was like, good answer.
Yeah.
I would have literally been like, I would have said anything, because he had my friend held hostage and cut off his pinky finger. Like, yeah. I would admit to anything that the psycho wanted to hear. Again, no body, no crime.
Yeah.
However, I do understand maybe wanting to offload a guilty conscience, but like, she straight up admits that she is, has made peace with it. Like, she did what she needed to do. She would do it again. So yeah, like, I would 100% have not admitted that I killed a man.
No.
I literally just wanted to, he was fully convinced that I did this. Like, I was going to admit to anything. Like, yeah. I don't care. But I don't know if I would have, I do understand why she took the gun from her dad or whatever weapon from her father, because like, why make him out to be something when he's not? Like, let him be innocent.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't.
But like, even if say the dad did, even like her killing him, I don't think she can literally be charged with anything for him, because like, he was stalking her. He did stab her. Like, he did attack her. Self-defense.
Technically, she didn't do time for that. That was dismissed.
Okay.
But she did. It's because I was like, oh, there's no way that she gets. I mean, I guess if you felt like you had to, it's self-defense, right?
Yeah.
But I think because she
admitted to the other murder.
She killed the other the other guy. They put her in some facility for 14 months. Yeah. Which, like.
And she's doing her podcast in there with like the women who are in the facility. And she has a job
opportunity with Alice on the outside. So like, you got real lucky, girl.
when they introduce this Alice character, so she goes back home to Manchester where her mother was killed, and she like goes to the local coffee shop and starts talking about, oh, the woman who owns it, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this has to be like a previous book. So yes, it is.
Okay. Because I was like, this is a weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you looked into it.
Yeah, there is another book by the same author that I guess is Alice's story.
Looking right now.
Yeah. Because I was like, there's such random background information on this Alice and like what she went through. And
what's funny is like, I literally went through his backlog after like midway through, because I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
But then I was looking at some of the ratings and I was like, maybe I don't like this.
I know. Well, yeah, no, this book too, like the ratings. The thing is, I think with mysteries and thrillers, I feel like, I mean, this has a 62,000 ratings and it's a 3.7, which I think is a good rating.
Good.
I think.
Okay, so Alice's book is rated 3.73. So okay. maybe I will.
I do think that mystery thrillers either hit or don't.
Yes.
So I think.
I also think people want too much out of them.
Yes.
I think they also, I want to talk about one point. So. There is nothing shocking about this story.
No.
I thought it just was a very well done, well put together mystery thriller, if you will. People I could see would rate this lower because it didn't give that factor. Yeah. And I think that's not fair, because
we've said this in the past that sometimes like the wow factor doesn't make sense. Like, it's kind of just pulled out of nowhere. And I would rather it be predictable but done well than, like, all of a sudden there's, like, some crazy twist that, like, just doesn't make sense.
So, like, Freida McFadden, I've read, like, three of her books now. They all have a crazy twist, right? Yeah. Like, she does know how to weave a thriller. But I find that her storytelling, like, her characters are very immature.
Thank you. Did you
read
the boyfriend?
They're a little crazy. They're a little psychotic. Like, yeah. I'm not saying in that manner. I just mean like they read very immature.
No, they do. I think I said that when I read the boyfriend. I was like, they felt very like
stupid.
Stupid.
Yes. So like, I don't think her books. If you're gonna rate them higher, I would rate the factor higher. Right. Mm-hmm. She does spin a tale.
Yeah.
But the actual like characters themselves lack to me.
Yeah.
I personal, I would rather read a book like this.
Same.
Where I know exactly maybe what's going on. Maybe there's nothing shocking, but it delivers like a fantastic plot, great yes. characters. Like plus like also like things in your shoes, right? Like even when she starts to research how she would do it, like she's so fully committed to killing this guy.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how this guy didn't like buy that she was going to do something to him. Like he willingly went, but you know what? Hold on. Now I'm saying this. She, like, if I didn't kill that guy, I don't know how much I'd buy into this like new guy that popped up his story and like the want to like continually to yes. interview him. But because he kept throwing in her face, like, I know what you did in New York.
Yeah.
I would definitely be baited and yes. keep coming back.
She took the bait.
She took the bait. But again, I wonder if she didn't actually kill him. Like, would she have really bitten on to, like, his story?
Right.
But again, if he was never caught, maybe she would. I don't know. But, like, to me, like, I wonder if you are also doing something suspicious and hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you're probably more susceptible to biting on to the bait. So, like, I could see from that guy's perspective, too, like, you're using the woman you murdered's obituary picture to lure me in. You're the daughter. Are you just some sick freak? Are you looking for answers? Like,
yeah.
Are you just morbid and different? Like,
yeah.
I think I can understand maybe why he was baited to finally go to her apartment. Maybe it was like, again, a crime, like opportunity crime.
Yeah.
But she went to like some elaborate lengths to like really cover her tracks.
Yeah, she did. And I support women's rights and wrongs. Like, she murder for a reason, okay? Like, and again, she did it, like, the female way. She did it the womanly way. She did it with poison.
Poison.
And he had to, like, wither on the floor in pain. It was also, very satisfying.
It was, but, like, also a perfect murder in the sense that he was a bad person.
Yes.
So went probably like, to her point, he went above and beyond to also cover his tracks. No one probably knew that they were going to be seeing each other. Yeah. He's not using a real, whether something's real or not in the name, something is also not real.
Yes.
Like you're using probably fake things to cover your tracks. So the perfect person to dispose of, because like who's really going to miss this guy?
Right. And that's the thing. I think that's why she was baited, because there was like that 10% chance that she did get the wrong guy. And then it was like, did I kill an innocent person? Or was this a bad person that I killed?
Yes.
And I think that's why she kept going, like, taking the bait. Yeah. And then it was funny because, like, she would take the bait and then she would get, like, pissy. And then he would, like, do something fucked up. And I was like, girl, just comply.
Yeah. Just shut the fuck up. And
after he cut off, like, Kip's, like, pinky, I would have just complied from there on out. She was still fighting back at times.
Oh my God, I know. I'm like, girl, do you not even know? I also found it interesting that like how he was like, I'll turn myself in. Like, I think he just was like, he had a death wish, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm done. I'm out. But like, there's no really like, you're probably just gonna go right back to killing because what else are you gonna do?
And he knew he was going to go to jail anyway if he got caught again, because he had just gotten out of prison and he was like violating his parole.
Yeah.
So, like, this guy didn't care. And it's, like, they kept being, like, he's so skinny, he's so emaciated. Like, maybe he was also sick. I mean, like, it's not something that they, like, actually touch on, but
who knows? Maybe he did find out he had something going. I did think at a certain point it was going to be, like, a kind of like a murder-suicide or something of that nature, because there was nothing left for him, like, because he was going to be dead soon anyway.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we were going to get like a confession of like, I'm terminally ill. So it doesn't really matter what I do. Plus like if you are behind bars for so long, like one of my friends is a detective.
Yeah, so you're like, one of my friends is behind bars.
One of my friends is in jail. And she does say like, sometimes like the longer that you're in there, it's all you know.
Yeah.
So like when you are let out, you kind of also realize like what is there for you on the other side when you have a rap sheet. So, like, they try to either prolong, stay, go back in.
Yep.
It's also, like, dependent upon where you're obviously staying, too. Like, maximum security might be a little different than, like, just jail.
Right.
The general nice, population jail.
The general pop, nice jail. Where they send, like, the – I want to go to the Martha Stewart jail, like, where she was. That, like, it's not, that sounded like a retreat, honestly. Like,
Thursdays, I look at my staircase. I'm like, 3-night, 4-day hospital stay?
Yeah. Okay. We just need
like,
to do
like maybe a broken bone, like a little banged up.
We should just do a reading retreat, like, but it's just you and I, like, getting an Airbnb somewhere. Like, remember when we were in Charleston, we were just, like, laying in bed reading?
It was so fucking nice.
It was so nice.
I go away for work in 2 weeks. And I love when people are like, oh, wow, you're going to have, like, so much time to sleep. And I'm like, I literally am at up. It's like the full growth organization.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the back-to-back-to-back stuff. So it's, like, you check in at 8 a.m. You literally have shit all day long. You go to dinners afterwards.
Yeah.
And then you're in your hotel room by 9. And I'm like, that's not a vacation.
No. No, we need just, like, laying on a beach reading, laying in bed reading.
Yeah.
Food delivery.
Yeah. Like, I want to rot. Maybe go for a run. Maybe spice it up a little bit. But then make my way back to the shower and the bed so I can relax.
Yeah.
Is that so much? Wow. There is I was pinging the woman I work with on my team, and I was like, so I'm looking at this agenda because they're finalizing everything because it's in 2 weeks. We're going to Orlando.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing an offsite night for like a dinner or something at Universal Studios. So I was like, how are you, like, are you going to really watch us? Because like, if I'm in Orlando at Orlando Studios, I want to go to Harry Potter World.
Especially the new stuff. Right. Epic Universe. I know. Oh my God.
So she was like, she's like a little bit younger than her parents. Okay. She's like, well, I'm obsessed with Harry Potter. I was like, so can we just like sneak away? Like, are you really going to miss two people?
No.
Like, we'll stay for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's acceptable.
Me too.
I vote that you go.
Also, like, because everyone's been sick in my family, last year when I was away for this exact event, I found out Leah had the stomach virus here. Then Liam got it. And then I came home and the next day I got it.
Yeah, I remember that actually.
So I'm like, I don't want to be I don't want to be near people. Everyone has the fucking flu. I was like, I don't want to go, but I'll go. But like, I don't want to be near people. So like any of the events, like I'm 1000% being that person that's going to Irish goodbye everything very early.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I like, that's why I won't take the baby out.
No, I don't blame you.
Cause like, I'm like, I don't want to be sick. And like, I really don't want to deal with a sick 8-week-old baby, like a 2-month-old with the flu.
No.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
He's actually like sleeping pretty decently right now. Why fuck it up with the flu?
What's working?
No, like legit. Anyway, I know that we can like wrap the book up and then talk about some other books we've been reading since we're not like really doing spilling the tea episodes anymore.
True.
I gave it 4.5 stars. Like I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. Yeah.
4.5.
So obviously recommend. And I think Kane and I would probably both say to download the audio. Definitely.
Fantastic audio. I did my first Geneva Rose book.
Okay.
Another thriller author. Home is Where the Bodies Are.
I feel like I have actually not heard of that one by her.
I did the audio. It has a full cast. Teddy Hamilton does it.
Oh, okay, Ted.
I gave it 4 stars. It was entertaining. It didn't like, I wasn't like obsessed.
Okay.
But I do feel like if you do like some twisties and turns
and
a little bit of a moment, I would recommend. It's a quicker read too. It's only 256 pages.
Okay.
It was published 2024. I thought it was my first of her books. I think like The Perfect Divorce or something.
That's like one of the one I feel like I always see.
Yeah. My mother-in-law read it and said she actually finished it in 24 hours.
Okay.
She said it was really good, but I was like, let me try this one on audio. It had a full cast. Again, if you do like a little bit of a twisty turny, some moments, that's a good one. And I need you to read The Ghostwriter.
Okay. By who? I'm adding it.
Julie Clark.
Okay.
It was another great audio recommendation.
Okay.
I gave this 5 stars.
Oh, okay. That's
So this, if you guys haven't seen her Instagram yet, I put up a little bit of a talkie video and this was one of the books I mentioned, but back in the 70s, 2 teen siblings are found murdered in their home. there's a third sibling, and he was not there at the time of the crimes. He was never really, I mean, of course, the family's always investigated, but they didn't find anything that would link him. Mm-hmm. He had an alibi, but like people were always very suspicious that maybe he did have something to do with it. And I like the fact you do get some alternating timelines. So you really do get like the dad's point of view when he was a teenager, not the now, but okay. He was a teenager. You do come to find out he has Louis bodies now in the current.
Okay.
So like his mind's going, his body's, everything's failing.
Okay.
So you do come to find out like decades later, he's a horror writer.
Okay.
He, of course, lets his past fuel his professional career. Like, he lets people think what they want. He doesn't ever shut them down. He's kind of an asshole, if you will.
Okay.
He has a daughter. And then, like, I like that you also get that perspective back in time also. Like, you really do get to, like, carry through the whole story. So you get the present of what's occurring and then a lot of flashbacks, which really helps to build who these people are, even the murder victims. You okay. do get some point of views from the girl that passed away and the brother as well. And again, I really think it kind of builds like their characters. You're not just like reading it from like a diary or, oh, this is what your aunt was like back in the day. Like, no, you're hearing their voices. It's right. really cool.
Okay.
But present day, he has a daughter. His name is Vincent. They are estranged. She was sent off basically, I think, in high school to Switzerland because he didn't want to deal with her. And she was like, this is my opportunity. So like yeah. she gets married, marriage of convenience, but to literally change her last name.
Oh.
So got divorced.
I mean, you could actually just go to the courthouse and do that. But sure, marriage.
But she kept her married name. It kind of worked out, whatever. She eventually comes back to the States. She becomes a ghostwriter, but she gets a little outspoken against misogynist male, we all know how that goes, and she kind of falls in the tanks. Like, no one really uses her as a ghostwriter anymore. Insert her dad. She now gets offered a job. No one knows they're father daughter, right? Like, no, that's how long it's been. It's been like, I think in the book she's 37 or 38.
Okay.
It has been at least a decade plus, so no one puts two and two together that they are daughter father. So her agent's like, you really need to take this job. Like, he's a really well-known author. It doesn't matter what this man has said in the past. Like,
yeah,
if you do really well, this can put you back on the right track for future jobs. Like, you're basically about to lose your house.
Yeah.
You need to take this job. And she's like, I don't want it. Her agent's like, you're taking it. So she takes it. So she finally goes back home for the first time in like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Has this whole, like, whatever. They meet together to like go over the book. So she's thinking in her mind, like, I'm going to spin some fucking stupid tale about my dad. And like, it's going to be all lies. She comes to find out that he wants to tell the truth, but she's like, again, it's probably like, again, all lies.
All lies.
Like, what is this really? Like, is he just using this like bait who he really is? Like, build his ego a bit.
Good.
Okay. Some shocking moments.
Okay.
Diaries are found. Old film is found. Her mom, she has no idea who her mom is. Her mom up and left like when she was a teenager, even younger.
Rude.
For whatever God-given reason, we have no idea. It's just like you think you kind of know where it's going. I will say even in the ending, you're like, ooh, like it doesn't have like a clear ending, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I don't know. I like highly recommend this one.
Okay. I'm going to download the audio because I am getting better now at night listening to an audio book. It was taking me a while to like be able to focus on like a book and, you know, feeding a child. Wait, so I'm going to download it now so I don't forget. But I actually read, it was the last book I read of 2025. And it had been on my TBR for a while, and I had kind of heard some mixed reviews, and I was like, I don't know, like, if I want to read it or whatever. And then Owl Crate sent us, like, the special edition of it, so I was like, if I have the special edition, I should read it. And the book is Well, Actually by Maisie Eddings, and honestly, like, I rated it 4 stars. I liked it.
Okay.
So it has a 3.6. On Goodreads.
Not bad.
Which like isn't bad for a romance book, but I feel like it's one of those books that people either really loved it or really didn't like it. And I think it's because the female main character is a little bit unlikable at times. Like,
okay.
I liked her. I think that like as romance readers, she could be a bit of a turnoff to some like to some people mm-hmm. reading it. Because she's very like I don't want to call her hard. I think she's just like very like, this person hurt me. And I'm not, just because he's like nice and cute and whatever now doesn't mean I'm just going to forgive what happened in the past. Okay. So she's like a little, I guess, like stubborn at times, I would say. Okay. But I liked her. So the story follows. Do you know Chicken Shop Date? It's like that, like she's British. I don't know if you would know because you're like very unconnected to like pop culture things. So it's Chicken Shop Date-esque where she lives, I believe it's all set. You know, it's in New York. She lives in New York and she has this like online show, I guess you can say, where she, it's like hot dogs instead of chicken. And she interviews like influencers and like celebrities, but they're like, she's not passionate about it. She like wants to be a real quote unquote journalist, like really reporting on like things that matter. And she like doesn't really have like a passion for the job anymore. And like the ratings are kind of going down and they're not getting the like personalities that they were in the past, whatever. And she's like on like her personal TikTok one night and she's scrolling and she comes across like a video of this guy that she went to college with and he's got like a podcast. He's like a very successful podcaster and his whole like shtick is like basically like to talk about like he wants to dismantle toxic masculinity and like that's his whole thing. And she like makes like a response video. She's like kind of drunk and she's like, I have like 10 followers. No one's gonna care about this. She makes a response video being like, that's funny. Like this guy was in a frat and he had sex with me and he ghosted me and he wasn't even good in bed. Like she's saying all this stuff, which is like, whatever. And of course she wakes up the next morning and the video, like the TikTok is viral, blown up. And so like, they're like, okay, like we have to get you guys, like he has to come in for like the show and like, you should do the podcast. And she's like, no. And they're like, no, we're getting really good views and like be a team player. Cause like blah, blah, whatever. So she brings him on and he has grown. Like you don't know like what happened in the past, like why he was acting the way he was, but like it's all from her POV and like she's telling us like what happened. And it sounds like he was like really into her, but like there was definitely something going on. So like he played like very hot and cold in college. Okay. She was like a little bit of like a late bloomer. So I think she was like a junior at the time. He was a senior. And he was like her first kiss and like her first time was with him. And after they had sex, like she was a young, dumb girl, like riding the high of like her first time. And she like told him that she loved him. And then he completely ghosted her. So like I get why, even though like now in the present day, he's like nice and really trying to like explain himself to her about what happened. I understand why she was like, I don't fucking care and I don't need to hear this because I don't trust you. Okay. But you do find out like he was going through, like his sister had died the previous year and he was going through like a lot mentally, like not doing well. And every time he would go home to see his family, like they were like kind of breaking apart and he just like didn't think that he deserved any kind of happiness, like now that his sister was like had passed. Mm. So like even though he really cared for her, like he just like couldn't at that time. And then like once he got like he like went to therapy and like all this stuff, but like she had blocked him on everything. So he was like, I couldn't even like contact you if I tried. So it like they obviously it's a romance again. Right. They end up together. And then there's like a lot of like workplace drama and like she's in a very toxic work environment. I thought it was good. Like, I feel like I haven't read a romance that I've really liked in a while. I didn't give it 5 stars. I gave it 4, but I was like really enjoying it while I was reading it. Okay. Yeah.
I do want to give Devney's book a try, but like.
Same. But I just don't know if I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for small town right now.
I'm reading The Man Made. Last book I want to talk about is Charlie Donnelly, Long Time Gone.
Okay.
It'll be very brief. I read 3 of his books. This was my favorite. It's about a forensic pathology student. She has a project that she has to do for genealogy. So think like 23andMe and Ancestry.com and how it could help solve crimes.
Okay.
So like, I think it was a Golden State killer or whatever was caught because one of his family members. So think along those lines. Like, so her professor's like, you basically need to find not that case, but like maybe another case, not a well-known case or something of that nature to kind of walk us through how this could help solve future cases or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
She contacts a genealogist in the area and he's like, look, the best I'll explain this to you till you're blue in the face and how things work, but like the coolest thing to start doing and how you can really understand firsthand is submitting your DNA. So she had a little bit of a hesitancy because she is adopted. So she wanted to talk to her birth, to her adoptive parents first and just be like, I love you guys. You're my parents. Like, are you okay with me doing this? And they're like, actually, yeah. Like, we have no idea about your birth parents. Like, we met your mom once. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
She obviously does this DNA thing. Gets, and the guy calls her within like a couple days and he's like, we need to talk. Like, you're, I already found like a relative match. One of her aunts is one of those, like, she kind of reminds me of like Cousin Jimmy, like sitting yeah. there on Ancestry, like building the trees, like whatever. So she's like, okay, it's so, like, I have a crazy aunt out there that's all, like, really into like genetics and who's related to who. And he's like, yeah, no, it's more than that. He's like, I kind of identified like your last name and like who you are. And she's like, okay. Like, why am I named and then adopted and then renamed? Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, that's the whole thing of it. Like, you weren't put up for adoption. You disappeared as a baby. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? She's like, do you, and like, I guess there was a case where a whole family, two parents and a baby, baby Charlotte, okay. went missing. She was on the cover of like New York Times, People Magazine, anything you could think of. They were in the spotlight because this whole entire family just completely disappeared 20 something years ago.
Okay.
So she is returned, like she is baby Charlotte. This infant who went missing 20 years ago.
Wait, that's like really interesting.
So, I mean, that's what it is. Like, again, spiraling down a rabbit hole. It was so good. But I think I want to read, I'm reading this book called Man Made of Smoke.
Okay.
Very detective murder mystery with a hint of Criminal Minds. So think of like a profiler.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting. Like, I'm only reading a little bit at night though, because it kind of like has been giving me weird nightmares of like the serial killer like coming to find me type of thing.
Yeah,
like really well written. Like, okay. Very, very interesting how it's written. But yeah, I want to do it, but I'm just like not in the mood for a small town romance.
Yeah, I'm not either really right now. I'm actually I put it on hold because I wanted to read this for the podcast, obviously. But I've been reading The Second Death of Locke, which is a standalone fantasy book. It's like a child okay. to friends to lovers. She is the missing heir to this like magical island that like disappeared. They were like attacked and like the whole island disappeared. And now since then, like magic is dwindling. Right. Nobody knows who she is, but like everybody has been in search of the missing heir. Because everybody wants The Second Death of Locke.
Oh my god, it sounds like Metal Slinger. I was like, wait a minute.
Continue. So like everyone's like looking for the missing heir because they want to control the magic and they want magic back. It's like this whole thing. I don't know. Like I think I'm like 60% in. It's like a little bit slower, but it's like very interesting. There's like a lot of good like romantic tension.
Ooh,
And I just like where the story is at now versus how much is left. I know shit's like gonna hit the fan soon. I don't trust anybody. Like there's one person I trust and there's two people and it's literally her and her like best friend slash lover. I trust nobody else. I know there's a lot that like we still don't know. And I was like, okay, like is this gonna be a series? No, so it'll be interconnected Ooh. Standalone series. So I assume the next book obviously will be about a different couple, which I kind of like that for fantasy because we've talked Same. About that, how sometimes like I just don't have the commitment for a whole yeah. series, but I'm in like a fantasy mood.
Okay.
So I was like, let me try this. Everyone's been like raving about it, or everybody that like I've seen talk about it has said like really good things. And yeah, so far so good. So I'm excited to like get back and finish that. And then I'm going to start that audiobook tonight, The Ghostwriter, and not next week. I was like, next week we're going to be, no, 2 weeks.
Yes.
We're going to be reviewing A Killer Kind of Romance by Letizia Lorini.
I think so.
And it comes out on the 13th. So when you're listening to this, it came out. So you yes. have two weeks to read it. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm like, did we give ourselves enough time?
I know. I was like, math in here. Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about it on the 28th. It comes out on the 13th, A Killer Kind of Romance. So far, I mean, again, arcs, sometimes you have to take with a grain of salt. But out of 188 reviews, 4.35 rating. So it sounds cute because I'm like, it's kind of got Katie vibes where it's like a little mystery.
Yes.
And again, it's, again, guys, it's another crime podcast host. So.
Sorry.
Yeah. But there's a romance. So a crime podcast host must solve a chilling serial killer case while navigating an unexpected romance with her mysterious next door neighbor. Say less.
Say less.
I feel like there will be antics. I feel like it'll be like whodunit, but also like kind of cute.
Yes. Not, I think, like, Rachel. Go for, like, I'm hoping, I mean, no one can do Bryn Weaver like Bryn Weaver.
Yes.
But I'm kind of hoping it's like giving those kind of like lighthearted vibes. Yes. I can use a little pick me up before I go back down into the dark depths.
Yeah. I was like, we can't be like everything like something dark. And I, you know, guys know me, I love romance. And I'm really, and like, there's so many good romance books coming out this year. Like, I'm so excited. Like, for...
we will be talking about both not Devonny Perry, I'm sorry, Tara DeWitt and Liz Tomforti's books.
Like, and Cara Beth Stone's book comes out, yeah, which, like, you guys know I love. Like, there's a lot of good stuff coming out. So I'm like, not worried, but I think this is going to be cute. I think that this has a lot of promise. So yeah, so unfortunately we won't see you guys next week, but we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. I do want to, like, there's, you know, and like, it reminds me of you. I might actually send this to you to be like, maybe when you feel like it, read it and let me know how it is. Cause like, okay, everyone raves about it. I just don't know if I can handle it.
Okay.
Emotionally, it's called The Reformatory.
The Reformatory.
Yeah. I don't even want to try to say this woman's first name. I'm going to butcher it. She looks sick.
Tananarive Do? Tananarive. Yeah.
I have almost 70,000 reviews.
Oh, wow.
4.43. But I was reading the synopsis and it sounds real good.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
I have heard people be like, it's going to like crush you. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah, just the first, set in Jim Crow, Florida. Like, you already know it's going to be like,
It's Southern.
It's going to be probably
segregated,
like,
reform school. Yeah. There's going to be some sadness.
It's probably going to like make you sick, but it's probably so well written.
That's what I'm like. It's probably so beautifully done.
Yeah.
One of the ratings on the top of my, when I scroll down, The Reformatory may be one of the most fucked up books I've ever read.
You know what? I added it. I'm not saying I'm getting to it anytime soon, but I added it. I will report back. I like, he's like, I know you can handle fucked up shit. Can you do this? Let me know. No, it's really
like
pretty.
Covers.
And I'm looking at who I am like friends with on Goodreads, who's read it, right? And like what they've said about it. And like the people that I like actually know IRL rated it high and I trust. Like
there's
Yasmin.
There's some people you could trust.
Yeah.
I saw her read it. I was like, if she's saying it's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, that's all I got. I got a friggin' baby I gotta go feed because it's been a while. So Katie Jean, if you don't mind.
No,
doing us the honors?
I really don't mind.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.